D&D Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Who are they?
The Guardians of the Wheels.
The Staggering Dragon presents Guardians of the Wills, a Star Wars podcast. And now here are your hosts, Neil and Dustin.
Hey everybody, I'm Dustin.
And I'm Neil, and welcome to the Guardians of the Wills podcast. So this week we're going to continue on watching The Mandalorian, but before we get to that, we got to hear about our podcast of the week.
And that podcast is What Comes After, a Genesis Actual Play podcast. The world as we know it ended in the mid-1980s, when billions of people died at once. 5 years later, four survivors discover that everything is about to change again. Check out their latest episode, episode number 18, An Unexpected Triumph. You can find this and many other great podcasts at d20radio.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that. All right, now we're going to move on to our Cantina Talk.
We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead.
Pull up a stool and grab a glass of blue milk. It's time for Cantina Talk.
So this week for our Cantina Talk, Dustin had found an interview. I don't know. I guess I don't know how you stumbled across it. You can say that, but it was a very interesting interview. So what was this interview? Where did you stumble across it or hear about it or however?
I think I found it on my Google feed on my phone. It likes to, the artificial intelligence reads my thoughts and my dreams.
Yes, the implant.
It knew I was thinking about The Mandalorian and Disney Plus, I guess. So it popped up on there. It's so this is Fantastic Frankie's YouTube channel. And she interviewed Lucasfilm's Leslie Headland, who is most recently known for writing the Netflix series The Russian Doll. I have not watched that.
I have. It's good.
Okay. Cool.
It's really
I heard there
good.
Was like some time travel-y
it is.
Groundhog Day stuff going on.
Yeah, it's good. I watched that in a very short time frame.
Cool.
It's good.
Cool. Well, she's apparently writing an untitled Star Wars Disney Plus series. Mm-hmm. So in this interview, she talks at length about her Star Wars nerddom.
Yes.
which is pretty cool.
It was pretty fun to listen to. She talks doesn't talk about what the story's going to be or anything like that. I mean, it's not like there's any news to it, but what got me excited, as well as Dustin, I believe, was just her talking about, yes, her affection for Star Wars, and she brought up Legends multiple times, talked about reading Heir to the Empire, and talked about having to stay true to Legends and canon and all that. She talked about playing Edge of the Empire. She brought that up and all that stuff, so apparently she's into tabletop RPGs. What I got out of the interview was excitement, because it excites me when somebody's going to be responsible for some form of Star Wars story that seems like they care about Star Wars a little bit and maybe have an idea. And I'm not saying everybody has to know all the lore. Nobody does, of course. I mean, we know a lot, but we certainly don't know all of it. And I'm sure she doesn't know all of it either, even though she apparently knows quite a bit. But it's just nice to know somebody's going to... that she's... apparently, it sounds like she's going to make a real attempt at staying true to the theme of Star Wars, and then talked about how her story is going to be in a little, its own little pocket of the galaxy and self-contained and all that. I think that is awesome. And I'm super pumped. Don't know when it's coming out and have no idea what it is, but I was excited by the interview.
Yeah, I was too. I was particularly excited about that stuff that you touched on about. She talked about Legends quite a bit and the role-playing games, like you said. The story being in a you know, a location or and a part of the timeline they said that hasn't really been explored much is pretty interesting, because that leaves, you know, wild speculation
yes.
for people like us to talk about. So it really makes me wonder if this is going to be a before episode one mm-hmm. timeline, which, you know, we all been, all those rumors have been out there for a long
right.
time. And that'd be great if they actually did something like that.
Yeah. And because, and by before episode one, you could mean
anything,
any thousands of years before that.
Yeah. It could be anything.
Yeah.
And for all we know, it could be after episode nine. I highly, highly doubt it.
I doubt it too. I think that's going to be left alone as well.
Yeah.
But,
and if I was a betting man and I had money in my pocket to bet on when it was going to be placed in the timeline, I bet it's going to be placed somewhere in between movies, somewhere in between episode one and two, or episode mm-hmm. four and five, or something that the audience is somewhat familiar with. I'll be surprised if they go outside the box and go, you know, way before or way after something.
I would too, if they would, if they stepped out too far. And so you're meaning, so then, so say it's between one and two or whatever, or two and three, even say that they're in
sure.
a part of the galaxy where the Clone Wars isn't really touched or something, but you know what's happening. I could see something like that going
yeah.
on and still not have any of those, any characters that we would recognize show up or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which I would be totally fine with.
It is good, though. Like we said, she sounds like she's a pretty hardcore Star Wars nerd, and it's good to know that no matter what the story is or when in the timeline it is, the person that's handling it, the person that's writing it, Leslie Headland, is passionate about Star Wars. And, you know, stuff like that usually comes through in your artwork.
It does. You know, something else I thought was interesting, and at the time I wasn't really thinking about it until after it was all over, but she was talking about Russian Doll and filming it, and I can't remember what the lady said that was interviewing her, but talking about, like, are you a nerd or whatever? And she said, well, I guess I'm a nerd about whatever I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about the timeline of Russian Doll, because it does have some time
yeah.
travel and stuff. And she said, of course, you film those things out of order and all that stuff. But she said, but I always know where we are with what's going on. Got to know what's going on before that and after that. So people would always
yeah.
ask, oh, this is what's going on. She talked about somebody else that always knew too. Thought, oh man, so like a plan?
Very, yeah, very detail oriented. And yes, maybe having a plan about a story before you just go flopping it out there to the masses.
Agreed. That was about my main takeaway. But yeah, we probably better move on past that, because we got 41 minutes of The Mandalorian to watch.
Oh boy.
All right, now we're going to move on to our prime focus, which is episode 2 of season 2 of The Mandalorian.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
It's time for this episode's prime focus.
So here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Tell me when to hit play.
Okay. We'll say 1, 2, 3, go. So then if everybody else wants to hit it on go, they can too. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
1, 2, 3, go.
All right.
Okay. The Mighty Ducks logo is on the screen. Is that what yours is?
Right, right. Hey, what'd you think on that recap when that robot bounty hunter showed up all of a sudden?
I was excited about that. Sorry, I started really watching the recap there for a minute, because I like that part when he catches that guy with the one eyeball. Well, before we get too far into this, do you have any like anything you want to say before the episode really starts about the episode? I mean, we're assuming anybody that would listen to this has already watched it. I mean, it's been out for a week now.
Sure. I would say it was entertaining. It was fine. It was not my favorite episode, and I thought seen a lot of people really reluctant to call it a filler episode, but to me, it was a filler episode.
I also enjoyed the episode, and all I could think is it seems like scheduling-wise, they would have just started the whole season 1 week earlier, so this would have been the Halloween episode. Because it, you know, yeah. We're going to get into it here now, but it's kind of a horror episode in a way.
Sure. Unexpectedly, so, by the way.
Yeah, unexpectedly. I thought maybe they would. As far as the filler episode part, I agree with you that it's a filler episode, but I guess in my mind, I still view Mandalorian like I'm playing a video game and mm-hmm. it's an RPG. Mm-hmm. And I know what the end goal is. It's to, you know, rid the world of evil or save my beloved or whatever, or in this case right now, deliver the child. And there's side quests along the way because you have to do this to get that. And we've talked about this with the Mandalorian before. So I do agree that it's a filler episode, but in my mind, it still moves the story along, or moves it forward in the fact that he is taking Frog Lady with the idea that
right.
Frog Lady's husband knows somebody. But now we're about to see Mandalorian get all tripped up here for a second. And I did like this scene quite a bit. Poor baby Yoda.
There goes that speeder bike. That lady's speeder bike is toast.
Yeah.
So that little guy, the little bad guy, straight out of The Force Awakens.
Was he?
Yeah, they were on Jakku. They were scavengers.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever species that is, I guess.
Was that the guy at the towards the beginning that wanted BB-8? He was riding. Was it the one that was riding on the? Okay.
Yep.
I should say, was he the one? I assume it wasn't that same guy.
Or it might have been. Who knows?
This is a good line. We can strike a bargain. That whole, if you put one mark on him, there's nowhere you can hide him. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But leave the child. Leave him be. So is that thing a robot? Or is that a face mask?
I think that's a mask. I don't think it's a robot.
Cooler ways he murders somebody in this show.
I absolutely loved what is about to happen to this person. And he deserves it.
He does deserve it. He threatened a baby. Threatened a baby. You should be jetpacked into the sky and killed.
You okay?
He's good.
Whoops. And the reaction that they both have after the fact is perfect.
It is.
He's like, well, he tried to kidnap you. What do you want me to do?
One thing about this show, and it's been going on for, this is the second episode, 12 episodes now. I always wonder what the average number of lines for a whatever 40-minute TV show is. Average number of spoken words.
Uh-huh.
This show has to be well below whatever that average is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's awesome.
You know, going back to that interview, Leslie Headland kind of mentioned
she does,
that Star Wars,
right.
You know, it's a very visual storytelling. You almost don't need any sound.
She did talk about that because she even brought up The Mandalorian and said you could about watch the show on mute and you'd still know exactly what was going on.
Right.
And she is right about that.
So right here, this scene, Mos Eisley at twilight with those ships flying off in the background. I absolutely love the way that looks.
It does look good.
I think that is just fantastic.
It's always going to be neat seeing these, whether they're the exact places from the movies or similar, obviously, Mos Eisley just being from the movies and all that, but seeing these places exist outside the movies is never going to get old.
Yeah.
Here's something I was thinking about when I was watching this, when we're back to the mechanic lady and she's playing Sabacc with this ant, which apparently they have ants in the Star Wars galaxy.
Oddly enough, the director of this episode directed Ant-Man.
Sure did. And so maybe that's why the ant's in there. But they're playing Sabacc. And do you think it's weird that apparently Sabacc is widely known throughout the entire galaxy? You know what I mean? I mean, we don't have a whole lot of games that are worldwide, let alone the entire galaxy. Every part, right. Every planet you ever go to, there's not a shortage of a Sabacc game, apparently. Doesn't matter what language they speak, they're ready.
The only thing that bothers me about Sabacc and Disney is it is not the Sabacc from Legends that I grew up with. Because they turned it into just a straight up regular old card game. And it's Star Wars. It shouldn't be just a regular old card game. It should be like what they had in Legends, where the cards digitally changed face and stuff like that. That was way more Star Warsy to me, but
they did change. That was cool. I like them roasting the roasting the meat, and it looks good. I'm not gonna lie. I would really like to have a piece of that. It looks like a giant prime rib.
I'm assuming that's his payment to her for destroying that speeder bike.
I assume so. Are they the ones that left Navarro? I'd take it. Another thing with that beginning little scene, it does serve as a good reminder that apparently there is still a bounty on his head to get,
to
get the child.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because that wasn't really a thing in the first episode.
Right.
And it's brought up, you know, several times in the first season. So I do like that they threw that in there as a reminder. I mean, it's a fun scene and all that, but it does also serve as, don't forget, there are people after you.
Right.
So now we're going to meet Frog Lady, which is apparently her name.
What kind of species do you think that is?
Apparently frog. I need to pay attention, but I guess she's credited as Frog Lady or something. Or it'll say in the closed captions. I'm not sure.
I almost wondered if it was, and I'm sure it's probably not, but what made me think of it was Maruth Duel, the Ribbit, from the Jedi Academy novel. Mm-hmm. Or Jedi Search or whatever, and Maruth Duel was the kingpin of the prison on Kessel, and he was like reptilian, and he had the tongue that would shoot out and eat bugs and stuff like that.
He does.
And he also had slave women in his prison.
He did. So, watching this, and I think it's worth bringing up, you know, you brought up, is this a filler episode, or we talk about it? I mean, probably, even though I still do think it moves things along, but it is still a filler episode. So if this is a filler episode, does that mean you think that the next episode, episode 3, is going to be intense?
Yep. If they follow what they did in the first season, this episode is similar to the second episode, chapter 2, with the Jawas, the big Jawa craziness.
Yeah, which I do agree was a filler episode, but I freaking love that episode.
Right. So I would assume if they follow the same pattern, then the third episode is going to be pretty dynamic.
What was the third episode last season?
He went back to go get Baby Yoda from the scientist, and all the Mandos came back at the end of the episode to help him get away.
That's right.
So I'm assuming something pretty crazy is going to happen in the third one. Now, you know, Baby Yoda starts getting infatuated with these eggs, and we know because we've already seen it, but the first time I saw it, I wondered if... I obviously didn't know what was going to happen, so it caught me off guard, and I thought it was funny, but I thought there was going to be some kind of like, what's he doing with those eggs? Is he using the force right here on these eggs?
Oh!
Like, is he gonna hatch one of these suckers? Like, does one of these egg babies have the force or something, you know?
Turns out, no.
Turns out, no.
Just
simple primal instincts.
It is. And I saw a lot of chatter about it in places. People say, I don't know how to feel about that, because Mando tells me, hey, don't, you know, first time, it is kind of funny. And here it comes. He's going to pop that sucker. Yep, there it goes.
Delicious.
Delicious. You know, he said, don't eat the eggs. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. But then as he just continues to murder that lady's children. And obviously, I mean, I eat meat and all that, so it's not like I'm saying there's anything wrong with eating meat, but it is harder when she's bringing up how this is her last chance at her line continuing.
Right.
He's like, ah, it's fine. I'm going to eat them.
That's okay. They're delicious.
They taste so good that I don't care about you. His appetite gets him in trouble a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, here we are.
Yeah.
So the X-Wings showed up. How many times were the X-Wings in the first season? Was it just once in that one episode?
I think so.
And they were so cool then. And it is something I can't get over. It makes you... It really puts into your head that we see X-Wings versus TIE fighters and dogfights. And Mando, of course, he's a good pilot. But these X-Wings coming up on him, it'd be like if two... F-18s flew up next to you and your little, little regular person airplane that you learned how to fly.
Your
that
Cessna?
They could just destroy you at any time.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's cool because it does show how menacing they would really be if you ran across them. Not to mention they, again, like everything in the show, they look really, really cool.
I love the sound of them when they first came in, because it harkens back to A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound of the X-Wings flying over the Death Star.
And it's unmistakable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know you're hearing when you hear it.
Yeah. And also, Dave Filoni is like one of six X-Wing pilots in the galaxy, I guess.
Apparently. He's covering a lot of territory.
No, but it's necessary for later on in the story as to why he's the one that is that pilot.
It is, but I read a couple comments where people are like, well, apparently all the X-Wing pilots are all just older, are all middle-aged men that are slightly out of shape. But they're kind of probably patrolling a less active part of the galaxy, and you know, maybe it makes sense for them to be in this part. When they open their S foils up, it makes me so happy, because it's like all of a sudden, okay, there's real danger here if they want it to be. And in my opinion, they could have blown him out of the sky at any point.
Oh,
that they
absolutely.
Chose to.
Absolutely.
And they just didn't, because they didn't want to, because there was no reason to.
So here's some TV show budget special effects.
Yeah.
Because this looks like a movie.
Sure does.
I wonder if this sequence cost more than the rest of this episode did.
I don't know, and it makes you wonder if it did, and...
Oh,
and even
so
more
great.
So if it didn't.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Because if it didn't, if it's this getting to that point, I mean, we've talked about this on here and quite a bit, but if this really is the future of television or what movies will become or partially become anyway, I mean, I am in.
Right.
100%. I think I have a pretty good suspension of belief when I watch this stuff, and stuff doesn't have to look perfect, but it sure doesn't bug me when it does. Another thing I always like about Star Wars and their ships, just how durable they are.
Yeah.
They just leave. That was another part. I'm convinced that they could have figured out where he went if they really wanted to. Just decided against it. But I guess, you know, coming back later in the show, they show that, yeah, they probably could have.
Whoops.
Death Ship has gotten beat up more than...
Yeah.
No, I mean, it is just in shambles. It's been up on blocks. I got stripped by the Jawas.
Been rebuilt more times than the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Poor Frog Lady. She just wants a hot bath.
And for someone to not eat her children.
And for somebody to not eat her babies. Maybe he's incubating them inside his stomach. Maybe they're going to hatch in the next episode.
Yeah. He'll regurgitate them and they'll be incubated.
Maybe he's fertilizing them.
He didn't crunch down on them. He just swallowed them whole.
He just took them in whole. Which is how I also eat eggs. Shell.
Shell and all. In. There he is again, just
going nuts on them.
Oh, but they're delicious.
Found them. They taste so good, and he just sucks down another one. He has no remorse. We're in a tight spot. The main power drive is not responding, and the hull has lost its
integrity. I suspect the temperature will drop significantly when night falls. Baby Yoda's not eating his rations.
He's not hungry.
He's full on frog babies.
She has to, I mean, she knows that there's some missing, right?
You would think. Like Timmy and Sally and Jimmy. Where did they go?
Because she never doesn't ever seem to get pissy about it, but she has to notice that there was 20 in here and now there's 6. And the baby has a poofy belly now. But maybe not. I don't know.
So now we get to learn why the recap had that droid in it.
Something else about Star Wars, or not about Star Wars, but about the Mandalorian, which is Star Wars. But that little scene where she's looking at the droid and she's looking at the what must be a temperature gauge on there. That puppet that is that frog lady, you have no problems reading her emotions.
Right.
You know? And I think that's neat.
That's when they're pulling it off really well.
Yes. And yes, you're right. This part was really, really cool. Apparently, she is ridiculously smart, and he probably should have asked her for some help to fix his ship.
Yeah, no kidding. very well versed.
Yeah.
Well spoken.
And all Baby Yoda thinks about is, wow, she can talk. I'm still going to eat her babies. If I could eat her, I'd do that too.
He's like, wait, we just cooked that crate dragon. I bet she tastes good too.
Probably. See, we had to leave. I didn't even get much of it.
Like right there.
Yeah.
A guy with a helmet on and a puppet, and you know exactly what both of them are thinking.
Yep. Wonder how long it takes to get good at controlling a puppet like that. I'm going to assume I couldn't do it ever.
Right here in this episode, the first time I watched it, I wasn't really feeling the episode a whole lot. And he goes out here to start fixing his ship, and I'm kind of like, oh man, I'm not really digging this. I don't want to see him try to fix his ship in a montage or a time lapse or something. But I was so glad hearing about 30 seconds of how the episode changed.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I was struggling until that point, and then after that, I was like, oh, this is getting good.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you because I had the same thought. I was like, oh, we're just going to get a montage of him fixing his ship, and it's all going to come down to what song they pick from the 80s.
Which song from Rocky IV they're going to choose?
Yeah. And if it was good enough, then I'd have been in. But if not, it would have been tough.
I love Baby Yoda trying to talk to him.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to pronounce a word this season? Baby Yoda, I mean, like, beyond Goo Goo Gaga?
I don't know.
I mean, we know he's 50, and that's apparently a baby in Yoda's species years. But at some point, he's going to learn how to talk, I assume.
You would think so. What are you talking right now?
Yeah,
they're
he
just
is.
Little. Meow, 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 meow.
And when he does talk, is he going to be wise immediately?
Is his grammar going to be backwards?
Yes. Now, there you go. Maybe we'll find out Yoda's grammar was backwards because of who he grew up with. And Baby Yoda's grammar will be just fine because Mando talks in normal sentence structure. I'm going to throw the Star Wars galaxy on its head. Baby Yoda will meet Yoda, Force Ghost Yoda. When Force Ghost Yoda starts talking backwards, and Baby, what is wrong with you? The whole time, oh, well, no, Yoda just had a speech impediment, turns out. There we are.
Yes.
Mando's a peeping Tom. Were you wondering when this was going on? Hey, were you going to see Naked Frog Lady get out of that? Did you kind of wonder?
I was hoping I wouldn't, because I didn't really want to see that.
I really wanted, like, what's going to happen? I mean, after we get to the point where it gets urgent here. What's going to happen? But I do like the way they take care of it with her just whipping her tongue over there. Baby Yoda's not going to help.
He's like, I'll help. Let me grab this one.
Here we go. He says, if I can't eat that baby, I'm going to find another baby to eat.
So this is very reminiscent of Alien. the Alien franchise and how they are birthed out of their weird egg sac things. And also the, well, I guess we're not worrying about spoilers because you shouldn't, this shouldn't be the first time you're watching this, listening to us, but we're going to get some old school expanded universe coming out of this egg.
We sure are.
Which was my favorite part of the episode, or aspect of the episode, I guess I should say. That looks really gross, by the way.
It does.
I don't know if I'd put that in my mouth.
And he just shoves it in like it's nothing.
He's not worried about it being poisonous or anything.
No. He's got an iron stomach. And then we get our little horror film scene of all starting to hatch. And this is,
and you're like,
because it does kind of make it start to feel like a horror movie.
Absolutely. He's like, oh, crap.
Scooching away.
I did bad, Daddy.
I hate spiders.
Yeah, oh my God. I absolutely hate spiders. And I also hate white knobby spiders.
In particular? Yep, there it is. She gets decent again.
So these things were originally from a Ralph McQuarrie, the original trilogy concept artist. They were going to be native to Dagobah. That's where they originally came from. And that looks like it came straight out of Stranger Things.
It does. That's exactly what my son said when he came on. When it came on. Is that the Demogorgon? I mean, maybe. It does. I agree. And I think that's really cool that they're doing stuff like that. Bringing things back. And again, spider looks good.
And they also were in, I think they were in an episode of Rebels, weren't they?
They were.
A lot of Ralph McQuarrie influenced artwork found its way into Rebels. Ugh. No thanks. I'd take that gun and I'd just shoot myself in the head.
I would too.
Well, I wouldn't want to
have to do
this.
First I would try shooting Frog Lady to see if maybe they'd stop to feast. I love how she goes full on frog now and starts leaping because she's faster that way. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, even the music is horror movie-esque.
Oh, yeah. And this is also another, I don't know who he would be talking to if he was talking, but another prime example. There hasn't been talking for a long time now.
Right, right.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah. White knobby spiders. You can also find those in your Saga Edition core rulebook.
And they, I can't remember now, they are born from tree roots or they become tree roots or something?
Yeah, they live with the tree and kind of grow into the tree or something like that. Or at least they did in Legends.
Frog Lady saves Baby Yoda. I mean, she carried him to the ship. I know Mando had him for a while too, but she helped. And he's still going to try to eat her babies.
Oh, I like that. He just crushes that one with his
hand. I do, too. I would have pooped and peed myself and then had a heart attack and died if one leaped at me.
Yeah, at this point, I was like, oh, my God, they are in the ship. What is he going to do?
Yeah. We all have our, you know, our fantasies of being on an adventure and stuff like that. I mean, that's probably why we play role-playing games. But then I see stuff like this and know that I'm only up for certain adventures.
Yeah.
This isn't one of them.
I'm fine watching them from the convenient space in my recliner.
Mm-hmm.
watching other people go on these adventures.
Yeah. She had that holdout blaster that whole time. Why didn't she pick Baby Yoda off when he was eating her eggs? And you, again, you'd think he'd be thankful, but instead he's just eyeballing those eggs. Like, I'm going to eat those at some point.
Ugh.
Him having his run-in with the X-Wings and then their conversation that they're going to have at the end of the show here.
Yeah.
About, I mean, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but basically they got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
Than worry about him.
Yep.
And part of that other stuff to do would be the fact that they need to try to build a new government, I guess. Mm-hmm. Build the new mm-hmm. republic. And I will never not be sad that we have missed out on that part of the timeline, I guess. I'm not saying we won't get it, but at some point in some form or another. But I sure would have liked to have that be a main focus of some major motion pictures.
So right here, the second time I watched it with my wife and my son, and my wife was like, oh, who is that? And my son, who's 9, goes, those are X-Wings. He goes, the guns sound like X-Wing guns. I was like, yeah, he's right.
They sure do. My son actually said the same when that started. He goes, those are X-Wings. I said, yeah, they are. And then I said, good boy. Which I was glad by that time he was happy because I did make him wake up early to watch this with me on that last Friday. And I love this. I love that they show him just sitting there.
Yeah.
Out of their X-Wings, just picking them off.
Yep.
Like it's nothing. That they are not, I mean, that they are good at what they do. I like it.
They're kind of reinforcing that whole peacekeeper role.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the Empire was around to, you know, put people down and take control and stuff, and the New Republic is there for peacekeeping.
Yep. Since we're nearing the end, I don't know exactly where we are in the episode other than towards the end. Yeah, there's only a few minutes left. Every time I watch an episode of The Mandalorian at the earliest possible time on Friday morning,
right?
I always have an internal war, and it's part of me is upset that I know I'm going to get to the end of the episode and they don't have a teaser for the next week. You know, like a lot of weekly TV shows that are that way will show next time on Police Cop. This is going to happen.
Police cop fire ER drama courtroom.
Yes. NY. Or Chicago or whatever city this one takes place in. But, you know, they always have next time on it. And Mandalorian not only doesn't do that, they also don't release that anywhere either.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's some that, well, then it'll have a teaser that they just put on YouTube or whatever, too. They don't do that. Do you like that you have no idea as we sit here, tomorrow's the next episode, that you have no idea what tomorrow's episode is going to be about? Or do you wish that you had that so you could wonder or speculate or whatever, as we all like to fall down the rabbit holes of the internet?
I love the fact that I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen next.
I think the more I get into it, the more I'm that way too. But because while I do like, as I said, falling down the rabbit hole of reading what other people think is going to happen on the next episode, when no one has any idea, you can still do that. It's just can be, I don't know. I think next episode, Darth Vader's going to probably come back and kill Mando and then train the baby to be the next Sith Lord, because nothing has said that that's not going to be what it is. And but no, I also think that's kind of neat because it turns little surprises into big surprises, because if they had shown a teaser for this episode, you'd have known the spiders were going to be in it.
Yeah.
I mean, probably. They probably would have shown something to show the spider at the end, right, or a spider at the end. But instead, then it was, oh man, that's the spiders. That's pretty cool. Or the Nobby White spiders. That's pretty cool. And that thing limps out into space.
Yeah. He needs to invest in a new ship, because that thing is about done for.
He does. He should sell those eggs.
Here we go. The last egg to be sucked down Baby Yoda's gullet.
Look at him looking back to say, thanks for saving my life. Anyhow, I'm going to eat one of your eggs. Showed you my gratitude.
And here goes little Johnny.
Yeah. Mm,
he was delicious.
There he goes. That was the one that was going to become a doctor. I hope you feel terrible. Well, that is the end of it. Oh, boy. I love looking at the art concept at the end of the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Concept art's awesome.
But anyhow.
Really, really cool.
We won't stare at that. Another one in the books. I enjoyed it. I think you enjoyed it. But we're going to rate it. What are you gonna give it?
I'll probably give this one a 3.5 out of 5 severed limbs. I think that it was a little bit filler-y, if I can make that a word. It didn't really move the overall plot along. And, you know, that's kind of my beef with it. But other than that, it was really, the last half of it was really exciting. I really enjoyed the fast pace and the horror movie aspect of it all.
Yep. I'm actually going to give it a 3, so I guess a little bit less than what you did, but only because I have a lot of the same opinions, and it's just simply that if it was just the last, once they go find her in the hot springs and then things start happening, if it was just that forward, I'd probably mm-hmm. give the sucker a 4 easily. But I would probably give it a 4 then, but I agree in that the whole thing, for me, it's probably a 3 just because I enjoy it, but it just kind of moved along. The X-Wings were cool. That opening scene was cool.
Yeah.
And then it goes, and I still agree that it's a filler, but at the same time, I think it does somewhat move it along in that he just didn't get to where we would have. At the beginning of the episode, when it said that you're going to go take Frog Lady to her husband, he knows of a Mandalorian, had mm-hmm. it ended with them landing on her planet, or not her planet, but that planet, and seeing her husband, and even him maybe not even saying anything other than, yeah, I got information for you, then it would, I think that would have taken the filler part out of it for me all the way.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we assume, or I assume that they're going to be at her planet at the beginning of the next episode. But that also goes back to talking about there's no teaser. So I don't know. For all I know, it's going to start. It's going to start right where this one ends, and somebody else is going to shoot them, and they're going to land on another planet. I have right. no idea. Yeah.
You have no
for
idea.
For all I know, the next 7 episodes will be them trying to get her.
That'll be the whole season.
I also think that. I really, truly think at some point in this season, because we haven't seen Cara Dune, isn't that her name?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen her yet, that if I don't necessarily think they're going to meet up before she has an episode about what she's doing.
Right.
And maybe that's wrong to think that. So I wouldn't be overly surprised to see an episode that ends something like this, and then the next episode, we just don't even see Mando and Yoda, Baby Yoda, the right. child, whatever we should call him. But anyhow, that's getting off on a tangent, so I won't do that. But so I give it a 3, which is certainly not to say I didn't enjoy it. I still liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But okay, well, these are long episodes, so we'll wrap it up. That was good stuff.
So you guys can find Guardians of the Wills on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, thestaggeringdragon.com, and d20radio.com. You can email us at stagdragpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook, and we always encourage you to leave us comments and feedback and let us know what you thought of Chapter 10, The Passenger. And one thing that I've failed miserably to point out on this podcast is that the music is by the band Galactic Empire.
All right. That's good stuff. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
And may the force of others be with you.
You've been listening to the Guardians of the Wills podcast. This podcast is not affiliated with Disney or Lucasfilm and is meant for entertainment and educational purposes only.
How many did you eat?